Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Please do not neglect him, thinking he belongs to a Shudra family engaged in material activities. It is my request that you meet him without fail. Purport. In the Varnashram Dharma, the Shudra is the fourth division in the social status. Paricharyatmakam karma shudrasyapi swabhavajam. Bhagavad Gita 18:44. Shudras are meant to engage in the service of the three higher classes, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. So Ramananda Rai belonged to the Karana class, which is the equivalent of the Kayastha class in Bengal. This class is regarded all over India as Shudra. It is said that the Bengali Kayasthas were originally engaged as servants of Brahmanas who came from North India to Bengal. Later the clerical class became the Kayasthas in Bengal. Now there are many mixed classes known as Kayastha. Sometimes it is said in Bengal that those who cannot claim any particular class belong to the Kayastha class. Although these Kayasthas or Karanas are considered Shudras, they are very intelligent and highly educated. Most of them are professionals such as lawyers or politicians. Thus in Bengal, the Kayasthas are sometimes considered Kshatriyas. In Orissa, however, the Kayastha class, which includes the Karanas, is considered in the Shudra category. Srila Ramananda Rai belonged to this Karana class, therefore he was considered a Shudra. He was also the governor of South India under the regime of Maharaj Prataparudra of Orissa. In other words, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya informed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Ramananda Rai, although belonging to the Shudra class, was a highly responsible government officer. As far as spiritual advancement is concerned, materialists, politicians and Shudras are generally disqualified. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore requested that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not neglect Ramananda Rai, who was highly advanced spiritually, although he was born a Shudra and a materialist. A Vishayi is one who is attached to material life and is interested only in wife, children and worldly sense gratification. The senses can be engaged either in worldly enjoyment or in the service of the Lord. Those who are not engaged in the service of the Lord and are interested only in material sense gratification are called Vishayi. Srila Ramananda Rai was engaged in government service and he belonged to the Karana class. He was certainly not a sannyasi in saffron cloth, yet he was in the transcendental position of a Paramahamsa householder. Before becoming Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disciple, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered Ramananda Rai an ordinary Vishayi because he was a householder engaged in government service. However, when the Bhattacharya was actually enlightened in Vaishnava philosophy, he could understand the exalted transcendental position of Sri Ramananda Rai. Therefore, he referred to him as Adhikari. An Adhikari is one who knows the transcendental science of Krishna and is engaged in his service. Therefore, all Grihastha devotees are designated as Das Adhikari. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshitarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gada Dhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So first of all, I would like to seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here today, especially all the senior Vaishnavas who are here. So please give me a blessing so I can say something useful, meaningful, and for my own self-purification as well. It's a very interesting section of the Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in this sort of section, what's happening is Lord Chaitanya has taken sannyas, he's moved to Jagannath Puri, and then he's beginning his tour of South India. So he wants to go to South India. Now his excuse is that he wants to go and find his brother, So his brother Vishwarup, as we know, took sannyas in the Adilila a while ago. So he's gone off traveling. So he was initiated as Shankararanya. I think that was his name. So he's gone off traveling. So Lord Chaitanya says that, I'm going to go find him. So that's why I want to go. Now it is very interesting because it's not that Lord Chaitanya doesn't know. Okay, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he knows everything that's going on everywhere. In fact, what's actually happened is Shankararanya has already passed away. He's left his body. But Lord Chaitanya knows that. But here it is said that he's using it as an excuse or as a reason to travel to South India. Now, why is he traveling to South India? Because the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's advent in this world was to share Krishna consciousness, to spread the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So if he doesn't move, then it's not a movement. So so you have to move. So he sets the example by going on a pilgrimage to South India and share Krishna consciousness. I think the lesson we can learn from this is that if we are the Hare Krishna movement, then we also have to move. If we're only doing everything at Bhaktivedanta Manor, it's nice, but then it's the Hare Krishna temple. It's not a Hare Krishna movement. If we want to make it a Hare Krishna movement, then we have to move all over the country, okay? All over the world if possible. So Lord Chaitanya set the example, and we should also start moving a little bit. In the Brahmachari Ashram, this facility is there, in the Ladies Ashram as well, that when people join, they go traveling all over the UK, distribute books. I was in the ashram for a while, and I did book distribution for the first 3 years, and I was traveling. And I can pretty much say I've been to every sort of major city in the UK, but all I've seen is just town centres, and they all look the same. So I'm the most travelled in the UK. I mean, not most travelled, I'm quite extensively travelled, but all I know is town centres, and I can't tell one town centre apart from the other, because they all look the same. So we have the facility and the ashram, but at the same time, even as grihasthas, we should travel a little bit. So you don't have to travel for miles and miles and stay away for a few days, but at least we should travel a little bit to preach. I remember when I was, before I joined the Brahmachari Ashram, I was based in Camberley, which is in Surrey, and we used to do programs there. And I know at that time there used to be a preacher circuit, so there would be a group of preachers, and they were all grihasthas, and they all would be put on a circuit. So they would go to every week. They would go to once a week, they would go to different towns to do a program. So that's how all the different local areas were accommodated for. So one week he would go to Milton Keynes, 1 week he would go to Southampton, 1 week to Reading, 1 week to somewhere else. And I knew this because we would get different speakers every week in the Namahata that I was part of. So maybe that's something we can think about and reinstate, because I know some devotees do it voluntarily, but I think it's a very nice system that everybody gets an opportunity once a week, and that's your sort of preaching commitment. Or if not once a week, even once a month. Even if once a month, if people start traveling to nearby town, which is an hour and a half away, or a couple of hours, wherever, then we can make the Krishna consciousness movement move. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya did that. He traveled all over South India. But this is the story of before he starts traveling. So before he starts traveling, he goes to Jagannath Puri to get the blessings of Lord Jagannath, and the pujari comes and gives him a garland, and he gets the blessings. And before he is able to travel, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approaches him. Okay, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a convert from a Mayavadi sort of philosophy. So he was an impersonalist, and he used to teach. His job was to train all the sannyasis. He was very intelligent. And when he saw a young sannyasi like Lord Chaitanya, he said, "What does he know?" He goes, "I'll teach him." So he sat down to teach him for 7 days, and instead Lord Chaitanya taught him about bhakti philosophy, and he became a devotee. And it's mentioned here that when he became a devotee, his perspective on life completely changed. Okay, it is in the last sentence of the purport. And Srila Prabhupada explains that before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a devotee, he saw Ramananda Raya as an ordinary materialist, like a Vishayi. Vishayi, Srila Prabhupada explains, is somebody who is just interested in wife, children, home, money and sense gratification. Okay, these kind of things. So he's only interested in that, nothing more. That's the, you know, that's the goal of life. So Ramananda Raya was very easily to be confused as a Vishayi because he was a government officer. He was under the rule of he was working for the king, and he was opulent. He was rich. He had lots of money, and even the sort of services that he used to do, we won't talk about because I'm sure you'll come across them in the later portions of Ramananda Raya. In the later portions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it would seem that he was sort of a materialist, and it is very easy to get confused. And that's what Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya taught. But when he converted to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, then he realized that he is actually a very intelligent devotee, and in fact a very advanced devotee of the Lord. And so he told Lord Chaitanya, when you go on your tour, then please meet him. Okay, please meet him and speak to him. Don't get confused. Don't think he is a Shudra and not speak to him. Don't think he is a materialist. Not that Lord Chaitanya would get confused. But he's telling him, you should definitely go and see him. Okay? So now you may think, okay, so here Prabhupada talks about the four classes, and we come across it quite often. Shudras are at the bottom and they're meant to serve. Okay? So it doesn't sound right. It sounds like Shudras are the bottom of the, you know, ladder, poor guys, what did they do? So it is easy to think like that, like why do we think that? Now let me tell you that in the Hare Krishna movement, the lower you are, the better. And if you haven't come across that, maybe you should come to more classes, because that's what the Hare Krishna philosophy states. The higher you go, it's not good. In the Hare Krishna movement, everybody's fighting to go lower. The further low you can go, the better. In fact, even Krishna wants to go and serve the devotee who's the most humble. Okay, the person who puts him at the bottom, so Krishna wants to go underneath him and serve him. So even Krishna, who is the topmost, wants to be at the bottom. So bottom is a new up. Okay, so everybody in the material world wants to go up. Okay, there is a famous story of when Srila Prabhupada was in a meeting with many, many business delegates. I think it was in Dai Nippon when he was getting his book printed. And then Prabhupada, wherever he would go, he would speak about some philosophy, and he would ask people about their spiritual sort of interests. And there was this one young employee, and Prabhupada asked him, what is your goal? And he took up a stack of business cards, and he took his card, and then he put it on top. He goes, that's my goal of life. I want to be on top. So all these other businessmen, but I want to be on top. I want to be the top of the tops. Okay? So that is the goal of everybody. But in Krishna consciousness, we want to be the bottom of the bottom. Sorry, that didn't come out right. But what it means is, yeah, you want to be really, really humble. Okay? Right at the bottom. That is the idea. So it is a good thing. It is a good thing to be humble. If everybody ignores you, and you should consider yourself very fortunate that I'm not going to get puffed up. Nobody gives me any importance. Great, this is the best thing that could ever happen to me. In fact, one of our acharyas, Gaur Kishordas Babaji, he used to intentionally try and sound very materialistic or do things that were very abominable so people would leave him alone. Okay, he used to intentionally do that. He was one of the most exalted Vaishnavas of his time. But he used to do that. He used to go and, you know, people used to bother him, especially when we see saintly personalities. Everybody want blessings. Okay, so they would approach Gaur Kishordas Babaji for mundane blessings, and he didn't want to be bothered. So what he would do, he would go and hide underneath. He spent a lot of time underneath an overturned boat by a river, so people couldn't find him. He would just live there. Then there was one rich businessman who came to him and said, he said, I want to do something for you. Please help me. Please help me help you. You know, if I get to do something for you, I'll get a lot of pious credits. And he kept saying, no, 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 no. Eventually he agreed because this guy was really persistent. And he took him to a toilet. And he said, can you sort of like get this cleaned up? Because I want to live in here. And he said, why do you want to live in here? He says, because if I live in the most abominable place, no one will bother me. So can you, you said you wanted to do something for me, so instead of building me a bhajan kutir, just get this cleaned up and I'll live in here. And he spent 6 months in there. Okay, Guru Kishore Das Babaji. So Throughout the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, acharyas have tried to do that. Bhugarbha Goswami, you know Bhugarbha Goswami, he was one of the first, him and Lokanath Goswami were one of the two, were two of the first devotees that Lord Chaitanya sent to Vrindavan to, you know, uncover the holy places and start the Krishna consciousness movement there. So you know why his name is Bhugarbha Goswami? Because Bhu means earth and Garbha means in the womb of the earth. So what he used to do is, even though at that time Vrindavan was quiet, okay, this is, we're talking about 300-400 years ago. Okay, Vrindavan was very quiet. Even up to 50 years ago, Vrindavan was quiet. Srila Prabhupada explained that, you know, when, not Srila Prabhupada, you hear Prabhupada disciples talking about the time when Prabhupada opened a temple in Vrindavan, Ramanreti, where we are now. And right now it's the center of town, pretty much. But at that time, they would say there would be two cars going past in a whole day. It was in the middle of the field, so quiet. Okay, and that's in the 70s when, you know, it's already civilized, things are built up. But imagine 300-400 years ago, it was so quiet. And even in that amount of quietness, Bhugarbha Goswami used to go in a cave underneath the earth and chant his rounds because he didn't want to be bothered. Okay, in that quietness, even that was too much. Okay, so he used to, hence is the name Bhugarbha Goswami. I don't know what his real name was, but that's how he became famous as Bhugarbha Goswami. So the idea is that if you don't get name and fame, if people don't appreciate you, if people don't respect you, or, you know, fame, you're lucky. Okay, if people leave you alone, you're lucky, because people have been trying really hard to be left alone. There's a story of Madhavendra Puri as well. And I won't tell you the whole story, but when he found out that Krishna, okay, Gopinath had stolen the pot of sweet rice for him, like imagine that, that is a big event, okay, the deity is stealing a pot of sweet rice for the devotee, okay, and he was at the Gopinath temple, and the pujari came looking for him, okay, he said, who is Madhavendra Puri? There is a pot of sweet rice for you that Gopinath himself has stolen and he wants me to give it to you. So he brings that pot and he's overjoyed, obviously. But the first thought that comes in his mind, you know what the first thought that comes to his mind? Is there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The first thought that comes to mind is that I need to get out of here because people are going to find out. People are going to find out that the deity gave me a pot of sweet rice and that's going to make me famous. And I don't want to do that, so I need to hide, I need to get out of here. That's the first thought that comes to mind. Now imagine if say, you know, if you're at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and, you know, Gadadhar Prabhu, who's at the back there, comes up to you and says, you know, Gokulananda saved a pot of sweet rice for you, or pot of halva. What would we do? We'd go and tell everybody, isn't it? It'll be the first thing, it'll be, first place it'll be, will be on Facebook. Okay? This is the pot of, you know, this is the pot of sweet rice that Gokulananda stole for me. Okay, a few days ago, you know, Facebook was down for 6 hours, and it was a big catastrophe. Okay, nobody, you know, businesses lost millions. People didn't know what to do. You know, you get all these memes. I saw one where it said that, you know, Facebook was down. I didn't know what to do, so I kept knocking on all my neighbors' doors to show them my dinner that I'd cooked. Because normally everybody cooks stuff and puts it on Facebook. I cooked this today. I did this today. This I bought this today. But Facebook's down, so he goes, he's knocking on everybody's doors to show them. So, but devotees, they don't want name and fame. In fact, they run in the other direction. So if you're already getting that, consider yourself lucky. I'm just saying that, okay? So it is a good thing to be at the bottom. Okay, it is a good thing to be humble. It is a good thing that people leave you alone. Okay? But at the same time, that shouldn't be the goal. Okay, that shouldn't be the goal. The goal of the Krishna consciousness movement, the goal for a devotee, is to share Krishna consciousness and be a devotee, to develop the qualities of a pure Vaishnava. Okay? And as you do that, naturally fame will come. But we shouldn't seek for it. If it comes, okay, it is what it is. Okay? But we shouldn't seek for it. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaurinitya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Now the song we also just sang, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. There is a verse in that, the second verse. Okay? Patita pavana hetu tava avatar. So Narottam Das Thakur is saying that your avatar is for delivering the most fallen. Okay? And mo sama patita prabhu na paibayar. And he's saying that you won't find anybody as fallen as me. He goes, and since you are the deliverer of the fallen and I'm the most fallen, then can you please deliver me first? So you see, the further down you go, you get more of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Okay? So we should try and be humble, not seek out name and fame. Okay, that is a goal. But at the same time we should also share Krishna consciousness with everybody. We shouldn't actively endeavor to do abominable things. Okay? But we should try and share Krishna consciousness, we should try and develop spiritual qualities. Name and fame will come, but we shouldn't aspire for it. Okay, that can come and go. That's not our concern. That shouldn't be our focus. Okay. What happens if you get proud? What happens if you get proud? Can it affect your devotional service? How would it affect your devotional service? Any answers? Yes, Jagat Priya Mataji. Okay, very good. You can become puffed up. You know what puffed up means? Puffed up means, you know. And you get puffed up like a balloon and then you start floating. Okay? So you start floating and you go to the top. Okay, and then you look down upon everybody. That's what puffed up means. That's why it's called puffed up. You get puffed up, you blow up like a balloon, you go on top, and then you look down on everybody. And that means you will commit offenses. And that's the worst thing you can do. Okay, committing offenses towards Vaishnavas, joking about Vaishnavas. I had a realization, I used to be like that. Generally, people like making fun of each other, and so did I. It's a habit we all have before we come to Krishna consciousness, and we bring it with us. But then, you know, one devotee told me, he said, "Why are you making fun of people?" He said a very interesting thing. He said, devotees actually give up so much to be in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? The give up meat eating, illicit sex, drugs, gambling, reading so much, austerity, so much austerity, waking up. Just chanting 16 rounds a day is a big austerity. Like people out there can't conceive of it. Okay? We give up so much just to be Krishna conscious, and then you lose all that just for the sake of making a cheap joke. Okay? It doesn't make sense. If we're doing so much austerity, okay, so much austerity, and what are you going to get from a cheap joke, okay, about somebody? It doesn't make sense. So our utmost priority should be that we should be really careful not to make fun of anybody and encourage, because it's not just that. It's your spiritual life is at stake. All the austerity you've been doing for all these years is at stake here, okay? And it's not like you're getting anything substantial either out of it. So it's very important, okay? Now, here it's... What time does class finish? Is it 8:30 or 8:30? Yeah, I just saw that. It used to be 9, so I was kind of calculating it like that. But it's okay. I can finish at 8:30. Okay, so how do you deal with it? When somebody glorifies you, okay? If you do something good, and somebody glorifies you, what do you do? Let's look at some practical answers. What do you say? Srinivas Prabhu. Dasosmi, I'm your servant. Okay, nice. What else would you say? Somebody says, Prabhu, that was an amazing class. That was amazing kirtan. Nikhil Prabhu, that was an amazing kirtan today. It's your twin brother. Oh, okay. It was his twin brother. What else would you say? It wasn't him, though. It wasn't him. Ian Prabhu? Yeah. So it's all Krishna's grace. But then somebody might say, no, Prabhu, but your singing, your voice is amazing. Krishna's grace. But you do feel like, you feel happy, isn't it, inside, when someone says good things about you? Yeah.
It's nice to just say thank you.
Great, yeah, just say thank you. Krishna Kirtan Prabhu?
Yeah, it's been
banter. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, very good. Sorry, Mataji. Pass on the compliment to someone who enabled you. Attribute the comment to somewhere you learned it from or somebody who... Good, yeah, that's also another way of doing it. Jason? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's correct. Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, I like Krishna Kirtan Prabhu's answer. All of your answers were good. It's also good to acknowledge because the devotee is trying to do something nice by appreciating you. So if we say, no, I didn't do anything, then, you know, we need to also acknowledge and accept. That's also there. But at the same time, if we say like, no, I didn't do anything. No, you did. No, I didn't do. Yes, you did, Prabhu. And then it's almost like we say that because we want to hear more. Like, yeah, that's not enough. Can you say a bit more? But we can't say that. So we say, no, Prabhu, it wasn't me. And then they say, no, it was you, Prabhu. It was really good. And then we feel even better. No, it wasn't me. So better to just say, thank you. Okay, better to just say, thank you. And then that stops it. I normally say, people tell me, like, that was a good class, Prabhu. I was like, yeah, it was good, wasn't it? I can do it again. And then they just think, like, oh, this guy's really arrogant. And then you never get that compliment again, ever. I'm not saying you should do that, but I think better to just say thank you. That's the more normal way to do things. Prabhu, that was a really good kirtan. Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? You should ask me again next time to say. So, might come across arrogant. Okay, so I have about an half an hour's worth more to speak on these notes, but. I've been told 8:30, so... Okay, questions? Are there any questions? Should we take questions? Krishna Kirtan Prabhu? Is there a mic somewhere?
Hare Krishna. Hare what Krishna, is Prabhu. Worth? Nice class.
Thank you, Prabhu. I can do it again.
you're talking about this principle of the bottom of the bottom.
Yeah.
And you said that it's I don't know if you use the word healthy, but you're inferring that it's the best place to be.
Okay. Yeah.
So how do we balance that between trying to always feel? Yeah, you did say if people are ignoring you, then that's the best because then you know you don't have to worry about the compliments. But how do you balance that with self-esteem, self-worth?
Yeah.
If you're coming into the philosophy with some conditioning where you've wanted that, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the two basic needs are to feel wanted and to feel loved and give love. So
yeah.
Could you just speak about feeling lowly but not feeling depressed?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Krishna Kirtan Prabhu. Very good question. The point is that a devotee doesn't feel worthless when he's at the bottom, but he understands that everything I have is because of Krishna. He doesn't think that I don't have anything or I'm worth nothing, but he understands that without Krishna I am worth nothing. But because I have Krishna's mercy, because I'm serving Krishna, everything is there. Okay? So, as it is said, the famous quote on humility, that humility doesn't mean that you think less of yourself, it means you think of yourself less. Okay, we don't have to feel like we're totally worthless and useless and nobody likes me, everybody hates me, not that kind of stuff, but we understand that we are worth something because we have Krishna in the heart, okay, and we always have Krishna's mercy. In fact, a Krishna devotee is always strong because he knows that he's protected by Krishna, who is the best protector. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, he was asked like, so when you chant Hare Krishna, what do you feel? It's a good question, isn't it? What do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada said, when I chant Hare Krishna, he said, I feel no fear. That was his answer. I feel fearless. Because when you chant Hare Krishna, when you're a devotee, you know that you're always sheltered by Krishna. Okay? So you are worth a lot. Okay? The devotees of Krishna are like gems, are like touchstones in this world, and are bringing about a revolution in the world by the Hare Krishna movement. So we are worth a lot, but we should understand that all this worth is there because of Krishna and because we are engaged in devotional service. I don't know if that helps. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Ian Prabhu?
Thank you so much for the class, Prabhu. I had a question, maybe for persons like myself who are trying to get into the groove of Krishna consciousness and, you know, do more. We are somewhat inspired, or I can speak for myself, I'm inspired obviously to achieve great things in devotional service.
Yeah.
And to some degree how we're ranking people's levels of achievement is also, you know, based on what they've been able to amass. So for example, in book distribution, we sit down, we glorify the people who've had the highest book scores and stuff like that. So there's a subtle meditation on wanting to achieve the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So how do we work on that and still not have that mood in the same light, because we're trying to be humble and, you know, low of the lowest, but simultaneously we're trying to do great things and achieve, you know, big things, and so obviously we're putting ourselves in the light to some degree.
Yeah.
So that was one of the questions.
Okay, thank you, thank you. So it's not that we just sit around and don't do anything, okay? That is not the idea here. It's a question of mentality. How do we understand things? My suggestion is that we should always try and do as much as we can. We should try and achieve things. We should try and, even if you can become famous, that's also good in one sense, okay? You can use that fame in Krishna's service. So anything can be done for Krishna. You can even achieve big things, but it should all be done for the sake of Krishna consciousness, okay? And you should always understand that all these things I'm doing are for Krishna, and it is happening because of Krishna's mercy. The strength that I have, the talents that I have, the qualities that I have are coming because of my practice of Krishna consciousness, and it's coming because of Krishna, all these things I have. And hence, I should try and achieve things. Like I said, the Hare Krishna movement spread because devotees did a lot. Devotees went everywhere. If you can become famous, it's great. Okay, you can be famous and people will come and follow you and they'll take up Krishna consciousness. George Harrison did that. Okay, and a lot of other people have also done that. So it's not that there's anything wrong with these things. The point is that we should always understand that everything we have is coming from Krishna, and make sure we attribute it to the right person. Okay, the attribution should be in the right zone. We shouldn't think that it's happening because of me. Okay, Madhavendra Puri didn't stop practicing devotional service when he found out that he was famous. What did he do? When he wanted to run away, okay, when he wanted to hide from people because they knew, but he couldn't. By the time he reached, by the time he reached Jagannath Puri, there were like thousands and thousands of people coming to him. Because he was famous. He was already famous. Word had spread really fast that the deity had stolen sweet rice. What did he do? He used that and he said, okay, you guys want to serve me? Why don't you get some sandalwood and help me take it to Vrindavan? So he used that to serve Krishna. But he didn't think, this is me, I am doing it. Okay, that wasn't his thought. So the idea is that we should try and achieve things, we should try and do things, but we should understand and attribute it to the right person. We should be fearless in sharing Krishna consciousness, but we should understand it's all coming from Krishna. That's the idea, okay?
Thank you. I had one more question.
Should we give it to somebody else? I think Antaranga Prabhu and... Okay, so Prayojan Prabhu is saying, let's check with the ladies first. Is there any of the ladies who have a question? Anybody? No? Okay. If you think about it, let me know. Antaranga Prabhu and then Divyesh Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
There was one point which Prabhupada mentioned in the purport.
Yeah.
He said that, I'm going to quote just a second. Anyway, I can't find, however, when the Bhattacharya was actually enlightened in Vaishnava philosophy, he could understand that the exalted transcendent position of Sri Ramananda Roy. So within this quotation, we can see some kind of a judgment was made by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Yeah.
And the conclusion of his judgment that this person is not a transcendentalist based on his physical features or based on the activities he was performing. So how can we as a devotees kind of eliminate this sort of rather negative judgment? Rather, when you look at someone who, for instance, is either famous or wealthy or somehow advanced in the field of material science, and straight away we may say, oh, this person is not actually spiritual because he's materially advanced. So how can we develop this sort of vision of non-judgmental towards Vaishnavas or even those which are not devotees?
So non-judgment towards non-devotees?
Both, and I would say. Both okay. To the devotees and non-devotees.
I think what it says here is that when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not a devotee, he couldn't understand the position of Ramananda Rai because he was behaving just like a materialist, so he couldn't understand. But when he became a devotee, he could see things beyond just the externals. Okay, and he could see that Ramananda Rai was such an exalted devotee. So a devotee, when you become a devotee and the practice of devotional service helps you see things beyond the bodily platform. So that's not, I don't see that as so much of an issue. We should try and remember that. I think what does happen is then when we become devotee, we start thinking everybody who's not a devotee and we start looking down at them, isn't it? We start looking down at everybody who's not a devotee. I think the way Lord Chaitanya did it was he tried to share Krishna consciousness with them instead. Srila Prabhupada also, when he saw or met people who were not devotees, he didn't criticize them, he gave them an opportunity. Okay, he gave them an opportunity. Our goal is to share Krishna consciousness and help people come closer to Krishna. And if we criticize them, if we put them down, then they're not going to be able to take up Krishna consciousness. It's the question is not who's got the best philosophy, it's the question is about how you treat people. I'll tell you a little story one devotee told me, and I've said it before, but maybe you guys weren't here. There was one devotee who was a book distributor. He's out in the street distributing books. Met this guy, a very good devotee. I won't tell you who he is. Spare him the embarrassment. He was distributing books, and he's very strong, philosophically very strong. He met a guy who was an atheist, and he said, you know, if I like, you know, and they were debating. The guy was saying, no, there is no God. He goes, if I prove it to you, will you take the book? If I prove it, what if I can prove it to you? He goes, yeah, go on. So they had a debate right there on the street, 20 minutes. And of course, Krishna consciousness is the best philosophy. So, you know, he defeated the other guy in argument. And the other guy was humble. He accepted it. He said, yes, you're right. I'm wrong. So then the devotee said, well, then take the book. He goes, no, I don't want the book. He goes, why? You just accepted that you're wrong. So why won't you take the book? He goes, I don't want the book. So he went away. After a while, about half an hour later, he saw the same guy walking towards him with a stack of books. Okay? Bhagavad Gita, he had all the books. Okay, he was walking towards him. So this devotee stopped him and he said, I thought you didn't want the books. He said, no, I wanted the books, I just didn't want them off you. He goes, you convinced me that your philosophy was right. So I liked the philosophy, but I didn't like you because you put me down. So I still wanted the books. I went to somebody else and got them. I got it off your mate down the street. I didn't want to take them off you. So the thing is, our philosophy is strong, but we can't just go around everywhere just chopping people with our philosophy, because the goal of preaching is to help them become a devotee. And when we preach, we have to do it in a way that they are inspired, not that they are dejected or, you know, disrespected like that. So that is also very, very important. So if you remember what the goal is, then we'll deal with devotees and non-devotees in the right way. We're 5 minutes over, Divyesh Prabhu, and then we stop there.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Mine was more like a comment or a reflection.
Yeah.
Such a gravitational point that you mentioned about attributing if someone glorifies you, but it's like many speakers have said that when they've sat on the Vyasasan, they've prepared a whole load of whatever they've prepared for the class,
yeah.
And most have actually said, oh, I don't know where this came from, like these amazing points I've mentioned, is because they've been so empowered by just even like Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas. Just sitting on the Vyasasana is so powerful, and we think that we're actually giving the talk.
Yeah.
But it was just a reflection that I wanted to mention to how you said to attribute and give back to Srila Prabhupada. And yeah, it's not really actually us. If we're actually following and being a puppet, then that's what we're meant to be doing, basically.
Thank you, Divyesh Prabhu. Yeah, we should be a puppet. Basically, we should understand that everything is coming from Krishna in the heart. He's inspiring you, all the good qualities. Krishna sort of takes over. The more you become a devotee, you can hear the super soul more. You see, Krishna in the heart is talking to us all the time. But the noises in our head is so much, we can't hear it. We're always puffed up by our own things. When we become a devotee, we kind of quieten that noise and we become more humble. We can hear the super soul more and we allow the super soul to speak through us. So we should always attribute that respect where it's due as well. The best advice someone gave me in Krishna consciousness, if you want to be a devotee, then get out of the way. Okay, you're the one who's blocking yourself. Krishna wants to help you, but it's your mind. Okay, so yeah, that's correct. So Krishna speaks through you, all the qualities we develop, we are developing qualities of Krishna that Krishna has. Okay, that's what happens when you become, that's why Prabhupada said you become godly. That means you're developing qualities that Krishna has because you're allowing Krishna to do his thing when we become a devotee. So the respect and the attribution should also go there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol.